News. News gives me the creeps.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task. Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
I can't see you. Who you gonna call?
ADL.
Louder.
EDL.
Who you gonna call?
EDL.
Who can you call?
EDL.
Who you gonna call?
EDL. Well, there you go. Once again, we're back to that time of year, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, Halloween. Anyway, let me thank Dave for all the time and effort. You will not believe what's been going on in my life. This is a new computer, and I am totally confused by it. But anyway, on with the show. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the English Defence League radio show broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the truth and the voice of the EDL. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, the title of the show is English Defence League radio show, Treats or Tricks. How about that, then? And well done today. Welcome to the English Defence League radio show with your host, Jeff Spooky Spider Mitchell, and my wolf man, for this evening, is Dave Agador Milner. Tonight we will be discussing the tricks that globalist power grabbers are hiding in the policies that they claim are treats. We will expose the deception of the dark ones so that you, our great listeners, will not get nasty surprises by tucking into what the WEF crowd has to offer. Have a safe, fun Halloween and no surrender ever. All that is necessary for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing. And of course that was by the late great Edmund Burke back in the 1770s, and those words stand so true then as they do today. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. And of course, that was by the late, great President John F. Kennedy. So without further ado, let me bring on my awesome wingman, Dave Wolfman Milner, Agador Milner. Good evening, or good afternoon, Dave, and a spooky Halloween to you, brother.
Yes, a good evening to you, Jeff. It's still light over here, so I think the audience is safe from me turning into a wolfman.
So you haven't changed this time.
No. I haven't changed. No, I have not. And I want to start things out, Jeff. You know this, and I'm going to tell this to the audience. We're going to have a PSA, and then we're going to get into some stories. But first, a nice Halloween anecdote. And this comes under the heading of laughing at oneself, but it also will kind of answer questions for a friend of mine who kind of had questions about my visual acuity. Since I call myself the unpleasant blind guy, well, obviously I'm not totally blind. But neither do I have the kind of vision that you can have to drive a car and do things like that. I have to magnify things and everything else. Well, this gave rise to a Halloween anecdote. Now, earlier this week, I was waiting on a delivery in the front of my building, and the front of my building is festooned with various Halloween decorations and things of that nature. And in the course of just waiting there for the truck to show up, my eye just happened to cast across a window in the building. And I thought, oh, okay, somebody, you know, there are the usual Halloween decorations, you know, a witch, a skeleton, that kind of thing. And I thought, oh cool, somebody put a cat in the window, you know, spooky cat, right? And I go up a little bit closer to it, and I'm thinking, that is a really well-done Halloween decoration. You know, I mean, really well done, well-crafted. And then I get a little bit closer to it, and I said to myself, did that cat move? And then I get a little bit closer, and I realize that it's not a black cat, it's a gray cat. And then I was thinking, okay, well, what they're doing here is an homage to the movie Pet Sematary. But then I realized it moved again, and I realized it is actually a real cat. And I put my finger up against the window, and it put its nose down there. And I said, okay, well, there we go. There's a Halloween anecdote for you, Jeff. So, yeah, with my vision, sometimes the eye can trick you. Yeah.
Whoa.
So.
Wow. That was a bit unusual, wasn't it, Dave? Wow. I mean, these sort of things catch you out, don't they, this time of year? It's just so strange the way that it came together like that. But wow, what a great story to start the show. Well, not a story, something that actually happened. As it's near Halloween and that was all happening and you was waiting for a delivery. And it just caught your eye, didn't it, Dave? It's amazing, isn't it? But yeah, great start for the show, it seemed like. Just want to let you know, I've just jumped in the chat just to check who's about. We got our very own Duck Northwest Media has given us a thumbs up, Dave, and he's saying Happy Halloween. And also, we've had Bigfoot joined us as well, and he said hi, Bigfoot, and he's given a thumbs up. Bigfoot says hi, Duck, Jeff, and Agador. Bigfoot, when it hisses and swats at you with its claws, you realise that it's a real cat. There you go, Dave. Back to you, boy.
Well, there is more to that story, Jeff. See, first of all, you know, it was an obvious mistake on my part because, again, it's Halloween, you know, and you see a cat in a window where, you know, you don't usually look into windows because I'm not that kind of a creep. But, you know, your eye just happens to catch a cat in the window and there's a bunch of other Halloween decorations around. So it's a logical mistake to make. But there's more to that story. But first, of course, let me greet Duck Northwest Media and Bigfoot. Welcome, gentlemen. Bigfoot's place.blogspot.com is Bigfoot's blog, and you can go there and read that. Now, and if you guys want to get into the chat, go to blogtalkradio.com. We podcast here live Sundays at 8:30 p.m. in the UK, and that's usually 3:30 p.m. Eastern here in the United States. And just look for the White Top Center search box, type in EDL Radio or English Men's League Radio Show and follow the links. And if you're registered with Blog Talk Radio, you too can get into the chat and Jeff will give you a shout out and, read your comments and things like that. Now,
it's great to see Dave, you know, as I said, this is the first time that I've used ladies and gentlemen, I'm using a Chromebook. I don't even know nothing about it. And Dave has been going through it with me. I mean, it was such a nightmare trying to get the show together tonight. David already got it sorted. But myself, I didn't know how to sign in on it and all that. You know, it was difficult, wasn't it, Dave? The last couple of days been pretty tough. But thank goodness I've got a great wingman like Dave, and he guided us through together, and it was a great experience. So thank you once again, Dave, from the bottom of my heart, brother.
Well, it's okay, Jeff. You know, again, my advice is you know, again, call them up and tell them to take that thing away and get you a regular Windows machine because those Chromebooks are pieces of trash. But you're here, and that's the important thing. Now, let me finish that story up. Now, all I did was put my finger down on the window, and the cat touched the window, you know, with its nose and that kind of thing. So, and that was fine. And I told a friend of mine here who's working construction, and he said, yeah, you know, this young partner of his, took his fingernail and tapped the window in front of the cat, and the cat did exactly what you guys in the chat room are mentioning. You know, it jumped up on the window and scratched the window and his cat. So, yeah, you're right. Yeah. if it moves like that or if it does anything like that, it's a real cat. So there you go. That's
amazing. What a great story, Dave. I mean, I've got to admit, it's something like that. It does catch your eye. You know, you see a cat and it's near Halloween and that, and it just, you know, you just glimpse you. Was that me? And it's made up and all that, like you did. And what a great story to start the show this evening. So absolutely awesome, Dave. Yeah, and look, Dave hasn't shared it. This is the first time Dave's talked to me about it. So it's news to this story, is what you are, ladies and gentlemen. Back to you, Dave.
All right. And in that vein, I want to do something that we do every year, which is, we put this in our slides, which is people out there, if you see a black cat on the street, leave it alone. You're not going to gain any mystical powers or any kind of crap like that by doing some kind of a stupid ceremony where you hurt a black cat. Leave them alone. They're just little animals, like, you know, like dogs or, you know, any other kind of animal. They don't have any special, you know, spooky powers or anything like that. They're just animals. And you know, basically, they're like any other cat or dog, for that matter. And you're just, you give them love, they'll give you back unconditional love. They're lovely animals. And just, for God's sake, yeah, Leave them alone. Don't be dicks. Okay? I think you're in with me on that, right, Jeff?
I certainly am. You know, I mean, animals have all got a place in this world, and they're not to be played with and all that. They've got feelings, so like we've got feelings. And you do anything that's going to hurt a cat or anything like that, then you're public enemy number one, where I'm concerned, and I think where Dave's concerned, and where millions of us are concerned. Right, Dave?
Oh, yeah, Jeff, absolutely, yeah. You know, so, I mean, okay, enjoy the day. It's not really a holiday, in my opinion, you know, because I don't celebrate, you know, satanic stuff or anything like that. I think Satan's a punk-ass bitch, and I take Halloween as an opportunity to say that I think Satan is a punk-ass bitch.
Yeah.
You know, but, okay, observe the day if you want. Pass out goodies to the kids, the trick-or-treaters and that kind of thing. If you want to get dressed up and go to a party, man, you do that. But don't be a jerk and do harm to an animal. It's not civilized. It's not on. There's just absolutely nothing good about it. So, Jeff, is there anything out of the chat before we start jumping into our stories, brother?
I was just listening to the rest of your story there, Doug. No, it's just as it was when I left this a minute ago. So it's good to have you guys, you gentlemen, join us this week as well. So back to you, Dave.
All right. Okay, well, guys, what we're talking about this week, has considerable to do with the UK's new Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, and of course, my not being Joe Biden, I think I pronounced his name better than Biden did. There's quite a bit to go on. Now, this is another World Economic Forum globalist. And before people say, well, you know, how do you know that? Well, guys, I looked him up, and he's right on the World Economic Forum website. He's right on their website. So he is a globalist. But they're doing something now about the term globalist. Once again, the lefties and the globalists and their little peons in media are trying to ban people from saying certain things. So, Jeff, if you're ready, I'm going to play this one here from the 22nd, or excuse me, from the 26th, and it's going to be about 4.5 minutes long. Ready to go?
Yeah, let's roll it, Dave.
All right, guys. Check this nonsense out. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show.
Globalist is an anti-Semitic slur that should be banned, argues Legacy Media. By Kurt Zindelka on October 26, 2022. A debate has emerged in Britain over the term globalist. with elements of the legacy media and social media arguing that using the word to describe the political ideology of preferring superstate over state is actually a racist term against Jewish people. Following what many, such as Brexit leader Nigel Faye, had described as a globalist coup to install former Goldman Sachs banker and World Economic Forum, WEF, acolyte Rishi Sunak as prime minister, left-wing figures have attempted to make the very term globalist an off-limits slur, claiming that it is anti-Semitic. Last week, Nigel Farage tweeted, "Jeremy Hunt is now running the country. This is a globalist coup." Mr. Farage went on to make similar comments following the installation of Grant Shapps as Home Secretary. The statements were condemned by Jewish groups, despite the fact that Mr. Hunt is not Jewish but rather a member of the Church of England. Mr. Shapps comes from a Jewish family. Criticizing the use of the term, Marie van der Zyl, the president of the Board of Deputies of British Jews, said, "Anti-Semitism experts such as the Anti-Defamation League identify globalist as a common anti-Semitic trope based on conspiracy theories about international Jewish power. Politicians should avoid using the term, particularly when referring specifically to Jewish individuals." The linguistic dispute came to a head on Sunday, when a caller to the LBC radio station echoed Mr. Farage's sentiments in describing Sunak as a globalist who doesn't seem to love England. For this remark, LBC host Sangeet Maiska, formerly of the BBC, chastised the caller, saying, "As we continue this conversation, please don't use the phrase globalist again because many of my Jewish listeners will find that incredibly offensive because it has also been used, at times, as a racist put down to the Jewish community." "That's not true," the listener shot back. "If I meant Jewish, I'd say Jewish." Commenting on the exchange, Mr. Farage, who was previously a host for LBC, lamented, "Words being banned by mainstream media, this is not good." Mr. Farage also shared the Oxford English Dictionary's definition of globalism, which states, "The belief that events in one country affect those in all other countries, and that economic and foreign policy should benefit the world as a whole instead of individual countries." Anglican deacon and GB News host Calvin Robinson also took aim at language policing from the media, writing on social media, "Be wary of anyone who hears globalist and thinks the Jews, as ever, they are the very thing they accuse us of. A globalist is a politician who operates on an international perspective, rather than a local/national perspective. It's only a slur in the mind of anti-Semitics." Political commentator and Spiked columnist Ben Pyle noted that the origins of the anti-globalist movement were left-wing in nature, highlighting the protests against the World Trade Organization, WTO, such as the anti-capitalist Battle of Seattle in 1999 in which Black Bloc anarchists rampaged through the American city, smashing businesses along their way. It has been estimated that Seattle businesses lost some $20 million in lost sales and property damage during the protests. Pyle went on to note that the BBC itself previously described the movement as thus, "The anti-globalization movement is made up of a variety of causes, including environmentalism, debt forgiveness, animal rights, the protection of children, anarchism and anti-capitalism. Most of the movement's adherents believe that globalization leads to exploitation of the world's poor, workers and the environment." Despite its left-wing origins, the term has since become a key phrase used by populists on the right, deployed by nationalist figures such as former President Donald Trump and Brexit leader Nigel Farage to differentiate themselves politically from corporatist and internationalist elements on both the left and right who are in favor of institutions such as the European Union and the World Economic Forum as opposed to those who favor a more localized focus for governments. Follow Kurt Zindelka on Twitter here at Kurt Zindelka.
And welcome back to the English Fencing Radio Show. Halloween special with your host, Jeff Spooky Spider Mitchell. Jeff, your views.
Well, I don't know where to start. When they go on about trying to ban the word globalists because it is anti-Semitic or something like that, it's rubbish. How dare they? How dare they bring race and colour and that into what people will say? A globalist is a globalist. Wants a superpower, they want to be the superpowers. Well, that's the way we look at it, and it's nothing to do with religion or anything. It's just globalism at the top echelon, you know, the top elite. That's who we talk about, ladies and gentlemen. How dare they? I'm sorry, though. I'm scratching my head because where are they taking this? And they're going to ban every sort of word you want to express yourself about the way the world works. Isn't it, Dave? It's disgraceful. Absolutely disgraceful. I don't know what your great listeners might be thinking. If you're the same as me, I'm just angry that it's got this far. How far do they want to go down this path, ladies and gentlemen? Back to you, Dave.
No, yeah, and I think that I have an answer for some of this, at least. But let's do a little bit of review first. All right. Who is it that is actively campaigning on the world stage against Israel? Is it the globalists, or is it people like yourself and myself, Jeff, and conservatives? Who was it when Obama was president here in the States who redirected the resupply of Iron Dome ammunition from our Defense Department to the White House? Who was it, during also the Obama administration, sent people over to Israel to campaign against Prime Minister Netanyahu? It's clear who supports not only the state of Israel, but supports and calls their brothers and sisters people of the Jewish faith. And it's equally clear who does not. I mean, look at all the anti-Semitic stuff, Jeff, over in the UK that's come out of the Labour Party. Oh, all right, so there you are. That right there says a lot. Now, the question, why are they trying to ban this now? Why are they trying to ban the use of the word globalist and turn it into some kind of anti-Semitic slur? But I think they're trying to do it because more and more people who are traditionally not conservative, and I mean real conservatives. I don't mean the rhinos here in the States and the phony balonies in the UK Parliament right now. Real conservatives. People who are not real conservatives are beginning to look at the policies of these World Economic Forum so-called leaders, all right, Macron and Trudeau and Ardern and these people, and they're beginning to see that it isn't the kind of pie-in-the-sky stuff that they were promised. Again, they were promised a nice treat from these people, and now they're discovering that it's a trick. Now they're discovering that they're going to freeze to death in the winter, that they're going to boil alive in the summer, that they're going to wind up, if these people have their way, having to eat bugs. They don't like that. And the term globalist is now a red flag to more people than just conservatives. And the globalist weenies that are in legacy media right now know this. And they're trying to head it off, but they ain't gonna fool us. Jeff, do you have any more comments, or is there anything out of the chat?
No, actually,
before we move
you
on?
Summed it up. And they don't fool us. And that's all I'm going to say, Dave, is what you said. They're not fooling us. We know exactly what they're trying to do. But we push on, we move forward, and we'll call the globalists the globalists. Whether they like it or lump it, too bad. Get used to it, because that's who you are. Stop trying to say, oh, no, I'm not. Of course, you're a globalist. You're a top ethnarch. You're the top elite. So shut it. Button it. Back to you, Dave.
Jeff, I love
you. You like that one, didn't you, mate?
Yeah, I did. I did. I like it. All right, guys. Now, we're going to move on to the next little trick. And see, we were always taught, we've been taught since the 1970s that multiculturalism and diversity and things like that were, boy, it was just going to make life better for everyone. We were going to become better educated, you know, there was going to be just this big circle of love throughout the world and everything. And we've come to find out that that's more of a razor blade in the chocolate bar. All right. Mm-hmm. And that's illustrated very well in this next one that's about 3.5 minutes long. This is from the We Got a Problem guy, who we haven't heard from in a while, but I think he kind of fills this out very nicely. It's from the 28th. So we're going to go ahead and run this. You guys are listening to the English Defense League radio show.
Well, guys, the shambles that is our coastal defences are still being exploited by economic migrants crossing the channel, with 80 making it over here Sunday before running off. Now, apparently 50 of them have been caught, leaving 30 on the run, which is bad enough, but it don't stop there. No, it gets much worse, because one of these illegal immigrants who ran off from the beach ended up running into some woman's house demanding a lift to London or Manchester. This is obviously dangerous, not only for the women involved, but also for the immigrant himself, because I tell you now, anyone ever runs through my back door, they'll be leaving in an ambulance at the very least. I'm sure it's the same for many people out there, including some of you watching this video. Now, obviously, she's lucky this illegal immigrant didn't attack her or anything like that, but he's also lucky he didn't go into an house where someone like me lived, but the insanity doesn't even stop there. No, apparently a neighbor come round and grabbed this illegal immigrant home invader before the police took him away, which you think would see him arrested for bursting into this woman's home. Well, if you think that, you would be wrong, because the old Bill actually said no crime was committed.
So, you know, let's not take the piss here.
Yes, I shit you not. They actually said bursting into someone's home demanding transport and phones is not a crime. This is bloody insane, and even more so when you factor in being in the country is a bloody crime. Now, I bet your bollocks to a barn dance right now that if I did this, I would be arrested and charged with a crime in bloody seconds. How the hell the old Bill there think invading some woman's home and demanding transport across the country is not a crime actually baffles me. But then again, they bend the knee to BLM, so maybe we should expect it. Now, it does also tell me and should show the people of Dover and surrounding areas that they need to be more cautious, because next time an illegal immigrant comes bursting into your home, he might not just want a phone or transport. Let's be honest, how many of them now have been arrested and up in the papers for committing various crimes, some of them pretty fucking heinous. Either way, though, it shows you can't trust the old Bill to look after the public, because at the end of the day, they're trying to now say that this person didn't break the law. Now, the fact the old Bill down there said he committed no crime is just astounding and shows that people need to take security into their own hands.
I'm also going to be needing a dozen 2-foot planks, sir. This rubber tube. A spool of razor wire. A pair of special gloves that'll let me handle the wire.
Beefing up the old home security, huh?
You bet your ass.
Yes, protect yourself, because it seems illegal immigrants do not have to follow the same laws we do. As I said, if me or you did this, we would be arrested for breaking and entering or trespassing at the very least. However, if you're fresh off the boat after breaking multiple laws to enter the country illegally, then our laws don't apply to you. You can terrify middle-aged women by bursting into their homes at will.
And welcome back to the English Defense League radio show, Halloween show with your host, Jeff Spooky Spider Mitchell. Jeff, what do you think of that one, buddy?
You know what, Dave? It just is another story of the total bullshit that's going on across our countries. A guy comes in here on a boat, goes into a woman's home without asking, you know, entry, just breaks into her home and demands a lift to London. It's a crime, isn't it? If it was me or you, Dave, or anybody else, we'd be nicked. That's it, period. Nicked for it, you know? But because you come across on the boat, you're a special person. No, there's no law broke there. No, he hasn't broke no laws. What the hell is it? What is the police all about then? Why do we have a police force, Dave? I just don't get it. I suppose you're getting the same problem over in the States, mate. I just can't believe that we live in a time where a crime's committed and the police turn their noses against it and say, no, there's no crime being committed. What are you talking about? Terrifying an old middle-aged lady and all that. Not much more I want to say about it. I'm just disgusted. What a time we live, day, eh? What a time to live in. Never known anything like it in my whole life. Back to you, mate.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. And as I say, it just shows what diversity, quote-unquote diversity, gets you. This is what diversity gets you. A police force that is all about promoting diversity and not about policing at all. You know, well, they might write some traffic tickets, but that would be about it. If you guys want to find this, you can look on YouTube, and I'm sure he's on Rumble as well. Look for We Got a Problem. That's his channel. And this particular audio that I just played was called Our Laws Don't Apply to Illegal Immigrants Fresh Off the Boat. So there you go with that, guys. Yeah, I mean, we've seen this time and again, especially with things like the issues that the EDL has tried to bring into focus for the rest of the world ever since its inception. You know, you see these Mohammedans who are savaging young non-Muslim women and men, and in some cases, boys and girls, sometimes as young as 10, sometimes even younger. And what's the response? If the response is, what do the police do? They have basically yearbook pictures taken with the perpetrators of these crimes. Tommy Robinson gave ample proof of that in part four of his documentary, The Rape of Brit, which, by the way, you can catch on his official Rumble page and on Urban Scoop. You can look for some that stuff as well at Tommy Robinson 1 on Getter. It is a two-tiered system, a binary system. When it comes to justice, when it comes to police protection, it's very binary. It's binary to the sense that the Mohammedans get a 1 and the non-Mohammedans get 0. That's kind of the system that exists now. And again, you guys were told, we were told, everybody was told, hey, it's diversity, it's going to be great. And it's not that great. I said, Jeff, I'm wondering if there's anything out of the chat or if you have further comment on this before we move on.
No, I'm not getting any feedback at the moment from what we've been talking about, but I think the gentleman is just sitting here listening to what the... how the show is unfolding tonight, Dave. So, it's just, that infuriates me. That's why I try to keep my calm, because it makes me so angry to see the state of my country, to remember what it was like. Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, I'm an older gentleman. I remember what it's like being brought up in the 50s, you know, going through the 60s. And times, I know people might have thought, oh, they weren't a great time, but they were much, much better than the time that we live now. It's just surreal. It is. It's like we've been taken to another universe, you know, a totally different universe to the universe that I was brought up as a young man. Dave, it's just the way it feels. It's just so wrong, isn't it, what's going on out there? I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I dread the young people growing up in this state of the way the world is. Back to you, Dave.
Yeah. Well, Jeff, there is hope, and it comes. It's going to come with future generations, because this can't last. Even though they've got some young people roped in now and brainwashed into believing this stuff and even promoting it, there'll be a future generation of young people that will come up, and this may be, Jeff, after you and I are gone, but there will be that generation that will come up, and they'll say, what in the heck did our parents and grandparents do to take this, you know, to take what was, okay, a world that needed a little bit of work, but to take that away and turn it into this nightmare. You see in this, Jeff, and listeners, you see in this in Iran right now, where these young people are saying the same thing about the decision that their parents and grandparents made in 1979. They want to correct that mistake. They want to get back to a modern Iran, the same modern Iran that Reza Shah created, the old king. They're tired of the Mohammedan extremism, and they want opportunity, and they want the ability to just live and have some joy. That, Jeff and listeners, is what I think is going to be the hope of the future. And depending on when Jesus comes back, and we don't know when that hour is, there will be a future generation that will reject everything that these people are trying to pound into their heads, because they're trying too hard, and people can tell. That's why you're seeing pop media begin to say things like, oh, well, you can't call somebody a globalist, because it's an anti-Semitic slur and all kinds of crud like that. Now, all right, guys, I'm going to do a little something here that I think that we kind of need to do. You know, this is the Halloween type thing, and I'm going to go ahead here and put a story out that kind of typifies what's going on. All right, and that should be just enough time for us to listen to and comment on and things like that, and then I might even play a tune, okay? Guys, this one comes from the 27th, and it's about 3.5 minutes. You guys are listening to the English Defense League Radio Show.
UK's Green Net Zero plans pose critical risk to national security, report by Peter Cattle on October 27th, 2022. The UK government's net zero green agenda plans risk exposing the country to critical risk, a report drafted by MPs has claimed. According to the report by the Joint Committee on National Security Strategy, JCNSS, Britain risks being exposed to critical risks regarding both energy and national security as a result of the UK government's net zero green agenda. Such a warning comes shortly after the country's incoming Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, announced that he was doubling down on the Tory climate change crusade, even re-implementing a ban on fracking despite the ongoing energy and cost of living crises in the country. What does not currently appear to be being considered by government ministers are the knock-on effects their crusade will have, with a JCNSS report indicating that there are concomitant risks associated with the planned transition. In particular, the report cites the fragility of electricity infrastructure, which will become even more critical in the shift away from domestic gas. The transition to net zero is vital, but it will result in the UK becoming increasingly reliant on electricity and renewable energy sources, which are more vulnerable to extreme weather than gas and other fossil fuels, the government report reads. To make matters worse, the paper indicates that other forms of energy generation, being reliant on the availability of electricity, will be negatively affected by such weather events, a factor that will only increase Britain's exposure to risk. Ultimately, the report criticizes the government for not taking nearly enough interest in the risk their current strategies pose to Britain's critical national infrastructure, CNI, with MPs demanding that the state get a handle on the looming danger. As in our previous reports in this Parliament, we have unfortunately uncovered an extreme weakness at the center of government on a critical risk to the UK's national security, it reads. It appears that no minister is taking responsibility for this topic, and there are no cross-cabinet committees driving forward the government's work on adaptation and CNI resilience, it continued. It is hard to imagine the government taking such a lax approach to any other recognized national security risk. Despite such present dangers, the nascent Rishi Sunak government only appears to be even more hell-bent on pushing through green reforms. Sunak himself announced on Wednesday that the government was reintroducing the ban on fracking in England during Prime Minister's questions on Wednesday, a move in keeping with the green agenda but not helping the country's energy independence, to prevent it falling victim to another winter energy crunch. Expressing the desire to redirect the world's wealth towards green causes, Sunak told the COP26 climate conference last year that he wanted to rewire the entire global financial system for net zero. We are going to move towards making it mandatory for firms to publish a clear, deliverable plan, setting out how they will decarbonize and transition to net zero, he told the conference, adding that there will be an independent task force introduced to define what's required of such firms. How such a move will help the ever-increasing number of Britons struggling to heat their homes remains unknown, however, with it now being warned that the UK could face rolling blackouts over the winter months should the energy situation not improve. Follow Peter Cattle on Twitter, @Peter_Cattle. Follow Breitbart London on Facebook, Breitbart London.
All right, welcome back to the English Mentally Radio Show with your host, Jeff Spooky Spider Mitchell. Yeah, Halloween special. And Jeff, how scary was that one?
I just think we are not in a good shape when they're trying to talk about net zero and all that. I think we've got some really serious problems ahead as a country, and lots of millions of people across the country will be affected by what they're trying to achieve. It's going to go nowhere. It's going to fall flat on its face. It's not going to end up happening. You're going to have to change course in mid-direction because it's going to collapse. The infrastructure, everything around it will collapse. That's just my... Honestly, ladies and gentlemen, it's just me stating my own opinion. Right, you know, I don't belong to a think tank or anything like that. Just speaking my mind, how things can crumble very easy when they're trying to push something so hard. Dave, I think I've clarified what I was trying to say there. Would you agree or disagree, Dave? But I can see some really dark times ahead.
Well, Jeff, I actually agree, and I disagree at the same time. Okay, I agree that it's not sustainable. For the people who, you know, have come to expect a nice warm home in the winter, and for people who like to drive their own private automobiles, and for people who like to be independent, it's not sustainable for them. So I agree with you on that point. But the entire plan, as we've seen it unfold, as far as what the globalists are saying and doing, is to shift us over to something that will only work if there are a very few people around, a considerable reduction in the population. And this, of course, can be brought about by things like the introduction of a disease. Wonder when that's happened before. Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, this entire green agenda thing is a gigantic waste of money, unless what you want to build is a tightly controlled, mini society that are all housed in sort of cookie-cutter constructions like arcologies and things like that. Look up the word arcology, people. That'll show you something of what they want to do in the future and things of that nature. So that's what he is trying to push us toward. Sunak is. That's what the Biden quote-unquote administration is trying to push us towards. That's what King Charlie is trying to push us towards. That's what all of these World Economic Forum globalists are trying to push us towards. Because, see, it's a treat for them. It's a treat for them. They're still going to be eating steaks and taking sumptuous vacations and living in private mansions with armed security guards and things of that nature. And the rest of us are going to be whittled down to a manageable number and very tightly controlled. And what we're going to get is not even really the scraps from their table. What we're going to get is the scraps from the tables of their servants. That's a part of the entire plan. And that, again, is the trick that is inside the treat, what they call the treat. And, Jeff, I think it's time for you to call back in, brother.
Yeah, I agree with you. The Klaus Schwab way that he looks at it, you'll eat bugs and be happy. You know, eat bugs. That's what they're trying to promote, eating bugs. Yeah, right. they really do think we're mugs, don't they, Dave? They really do. People don't want to live like that. They want to get on with and live their lives and eat normal food. And just because the rich eat rich food, we just like getting on with our lives and eating our normal food. So don't try pushing bugs on us, because it ain't going to work. So jog on. Back to you, Dave.
All right, Jeff. Well, you know what, brother? It's time for you to call back in. And while you call back in, yeah. While you call back in, I'll go ahead and play us a nice tune. And, for everybody else, hey, you may want to refresh your drinks and whatnot. All right. We're going to play a little tune by Warren Zevon, appropriate for the day. That's about 3.5 minutes long. Here you go. I'm listening to it as well. The English Defense League Radio Show. Here we go.
I saw Lon Chaney Jr. walking with the Queen, doing the werewolves of blunder. I saw a werewolf drinking a pina colada at Trader Vic.
Welcome back to the English Fence Radio Show. Special.
Well,
yeah.
Mate, I'll tell you what, we was having a bit of conversation in the chat. I just want to bring up speed and what was being said. Dark Northwest Media, question, when is it bad luck to be followed by a black cat? A, when you're a mouse. Bigfoot then comes back with Werewolf of London by Warren Zevon, with Mick Fleetwood on drums and John McVie on bass. And I've laughed that loud at what Duck said. And also, yes, cool Bigfoot, I said. And Duck comes back and says, what kind of monster loves a disco dance? The bogeyman. The bogeyman. And of course, it should have been laugh out loud, but I put LPI. That's you, Dave. There you go. And a bit of fun in the chat there, mate.
There you go. Thank and Halloween is for good fun. I guess LPI must mean, laughing until you pee in something. I'm not sure. Anyway.
Very good, Dave. Bang on. Boom.
Biggie, man, the two people that he mentioned, unless I'm wrong, are a couple of the people from the group that was big in the 1970s called Fleetwood Mac. Pretty good stuff. Nice little fun song there, I thought, that what the heck, quite honestly, I think that given all of the chicanery that our governments in all our countries are trying to pull right now, I think we'd all probably prefer a nice, honest werewolf. I mean, when they're going to go off, right? So, hey.
When you hear the howl, you just burrow away from that noise. Don't let them come in.
Just don't go out. Don't go out on the full
don't
moon.
Go
or
out,
or
it,
you know
huh?
if you do go out, take a nice self defense tool loaded with silver bullets with you. It's easy.
Everybody should carry one. That's totally issue. But over the years since I've lived where I live, like in Ipswich, we haven't had any sightings of werewolves during Halloween, so it might happen tonight. You don't know, do you, though? You really don't. Actually.
Oh, well, exactly, yeah. That's going to be tomorrow night, but
here you go. That's why we have seen werewolves.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Guys, we're gonna get into our... Well, it's sort of our last story, and it kind of chains into the story that that we had before. I mean, it's very interesting what this Rishi Sunak is doing, and basically, he's been sucking a lot of the air out of the news out of the UK just because of all of the walkbacks that he's doing on older conservative policies like energy independence. He's walked back on that. And he's walked back on taxes. Saw an article just today before we came on the air here. It said, the Chancellor of the Exchequer over there wants to raise £25 billion in taxes. And I'm pretty sure, Jeff, and I think you are, who he's going to get most of that from. So there are definitely scary times ahead for the people of the UK. And it's not going to be just in their bank balance. Got one here for you. This one comes from the, comes from the 20th, and it's just over 4 minutes long. And remember when they was talking, when they were talking about the possibility of rolling blackouts in the UK this winter? Well, check this out, guys. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show.
BBC preparing secret scripts for winter blackout emergency radio broadcasts, report by Kurt Zimbelka on October 20th, 2022. Britain's national broadcaster has reportedly been crafting secret scripts to be read out to the public in the event that the energy crisis results in blackouts during the winter months. The BBC, which is a publicly funded broadcaster, has a role in disseminating messages to the populace during times of national crisis, has allegedly already begun preparing emergency broadcasts in order to reassure the people of Britain if the feared prospect of winter blackouts become a reality and cause disruptions in banking systems, internet access, mobile phone networks, and traffic lights. One such script, seen by the Guardian newspaper, stated, "The government has said its hope power will be restored in the next 36 to 48 hours. Different parts of Britain will start to receive intermittent supplies before then." Another, written in a news bulletin style, said, "The emergency services are under extreme pressure. People are being advised not to contact them unless absolutely necessary." The emergency warnings also spoke of a blackout that could last up to 2 days, under which scenario hospitals and police services would be put under extreme pressure. In the event of a blackout, the public would be told to use their car radios or battery-powered radios to tune into emergency broadcasts of BBC Radio 2 and Radio 4. The scripts were reportedly drafted by journalists at the BBC as a part of emergency planning protocols for potential crises. It is also believed that messages would differ for the separate regions and nations of the United Kingdom, as Northern Ireland in particular is on the same national grid as the Republic of Ireland and would be unaffected by blackouts on the Isle of Great Britain, but would be impacted by blackouts on the island of Ireland. It is currently unclear if the government, which works with the BBC to develop emergency contingency plans, had any role in developing the scripts for blackouts. "The government is confident that this is not a scenario we will face this winter," a government spokesman said. While the government has attempted to downplay the possibility of blackouts, the head of the National Grid, John Pettigrew, warned on Monday that there is a possibility of rolling blackouts throughout the country between 4 p.m. and 7 p.m. during really, really cold days in the months of January and February. "The prospect of blackouts in Britain comes despite the fact that the UK is not reliant on Russian gas imports like much of continental Europe. However, due to over a decade of failure from the ruling Conservative Party to secure energy independence for the nation by tapping its own gas reserves or pursuing nuclear power, the nation still imports a large amount of energy during the winter months." Highlighting the issues with the pursuit of so-called green energy, Pettigrew noted that during the coldest months, wind speeds are typically too slow to power the scores of wind turbines the UK government has built instead of making the country independent in energy. "During such periods of cold weather and slow wind, the UK has been forced to look towards European nations such as Belgium, France, and the Netherlands to supply electricity through underwater cables." While Prime Minister Liz Truss came to an agreement with the three nations earlier this month at the meeting of French President Emmanuel Macron's European political community in Prague to keep the electricity flowing during the winter in exchange for opening up British territory in the North Sea to European wind farm projects, there is no guarantee that the commitments will be met should Europe face its own energy crisis. The National Grid chief said on Monday that the winter months could also see households and businesses across Britain being paid to limit their energy usage. Pettigrew said that such a scheme would present a glimpse of what the future is actually going to be like, as similar proposals have already been brought up as a possible means of achieving the Green Agenda goal of net zero carbon emissions by the year 2050. Follow Kurt Zindelka on Twitter here at Kurt Zindelka.
Welcome back to the English Defense League radio show, Halloween special, with your host, Jeff Spooky Spider Mitchell. Jeff?
Well, I think we know that they was preparing for something, even though they say, no, it's not going to happen. We know a bit better than that. I've been thinking quite a lot like them. Now, just if there's any chance, because my phone's beeped a couple of times, and I still need to get new batteries, chargeable batteries for my phone. If it does go off for a bit, Dave, hang in there. I'll get back on the other way I normally do when I get a problem like that. Just want to give you an heads up, Dave. I should have messaged you, but it just happened a couple of times, so I thought we'll just keep playing along and see how it goes. But yeah, we will see. I think I've been thinking quite a lot about wind up emergency radio. Sort of if our listeners out there, if you live in the UK, I think basically it should really have one put by, you know, put one in your cupboard for emergency purposes only. It's just beeped again, Dave, so just to give you an heads up. That's something I would tell you to do, and emergency light, you know, wind up lights that you can buy, that sort of thing. Just be prepared. That's all I'll say, ladies and gentlemen. Back to you, Dave, just in case it goes off when I'm in the middle of talking. Back to you, mate.
Right, Jeff, yeah. And this is not unusual. And let me clear up one other thing. Now, they said that the ruling conservatives haven't done anything about energy independence in 10 years. Well, let's also remember that there are Labour Party members in the Parliament, and they haven't brought any pressure at all for energy independence. In fact, they've chosen to go for energy dependence. So if there's a problem with energy and the fact that the UK is not energy independent, just like the United States is not anymore, then it has to do with all of the politicians. Certainly all of the politicians who buy into this World Economic Forum, green agenda, now they're calling it net zero. So again, because people who are not conservatives are already looking at this green agenda and going, wait a minute, we're going to have to do without electricity for hours on end in the winter? What the hell is this? So they're trying to disguise it as something else. And I will guarantee you one thing. All of these supposed quote-unquote leaders are going to have their houses lit up like a disco, speaking of disco, and quite warm during those hours. And what we should demand as a people in all of our nations is whatever agendas or initiatives these people put forward, everyone has to live by those. If we have to live by them, the quote-unquote leaders have to live by them. If they don't want to do that, then they shouldn't try and make us do that. And yeah, Jeff, you bring up the notion of wind-up radios for emergencies, and those are pretty good, and I recommend them for people here in the United States as well. You know, it's good to have some provision for in case the power goes out, because natural disaster is another thing that, you know, we all have the possibility of facing. And there's another issue, and it has to do with cell phones. Now, a lot of people think, well, I just keep my cell phone charged up and I can call people and do various things over the cell phone when the power goes out. Well, remember, guys, when the power goes out, the cell towers go on battery power themselves, and those batteries are only going to last so many hours. And when they go down to a certain level, those towers are going to shut off at least for the use of regular people. All right. So one alternative, and it may be pricey, but it's an alternative that you may want to think about, both in the UK and in the States. Is at a place called satellite123.com. It's a device called a Divi stick. And yeah, I know there's jokes in there aplenty. But what this is, what it appears to be, is a device which will allow your ordinary cell phone to access the satellite frequencies, which, of course, the satellites are not on the same kind of power system as everything else. All right, it's just a thought. You can go there and check the stuff out yourselves, price the stuff. see if you can afford it, that sort of thing. But, you know, just as the We Got a Problem guy said earlier, that we're going to have to begin taking justice into our own hands just out of pure self-defense, we're also going to have to begin to take our own survival when it comes to loss of electricity, things of that nature, into our own hands. Because one thing is for sure, our governments are not going to do it. They, you know, as far as, again, they want that treat, which is quote unquote green energy. They want that treat, but it's going to be a trick for everybody else. So, Jeff, you got anything else to say, or is there anything out of the chat before we wind this show up, buddy?
The chat, because it just beeped again. I'm just giving me a bit of an heads up. No, it's the guys are just listening to what the stories that we're sharing, and the advice. I mean, this is good advice that we're talking about as well, you know. And as Dave said, sometimes it can be a little bit pricey. If you're looking, for a cell phone that doesn't have to operate on a normal stuff, you might be looking at a high range. I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't like to even put a price on it, would you, Dave? But I would think it was quite pricey, maybe £300, something like that. I might be wrong, Dave. Back to you.
No, it's worth a look. But Jeff, that is the all the stories I have, and I want to say it's been a tremendous show. I want to thank Bigfoot. Bigfoot's Place .blogspot.com is Biggie's blog, and I also want to thank Duck Northwest Media for being there here with us for this auspicious occasion. And we're going to be back next week and have another great show. We're getting into November now. And Jeff, it's been a great show. Been a great time working with you, buddy.
I've enjoyed it tonight, even though I'm getting down where it's because the phone's making funny noises. It's really, I wasn't sure whether this was I was going to be able to get on and do what I want to do, and like we've done this evening. So I'm so glad to see Bigfoot and Duck Northwest Media join us tonight. I really appreciate the guys there, because, you know, and all our other listeners out there, and we've got listeners all over the place, and thanks, guys. We appreciate you. Back to you, Dave.
All right, Jeff. Well, you know, I can see Alex and the Bandits. You know, they're kind of shuffling on stage. Guys, okay, yeah. Even though you're wearing sheets with eye holes, throwing peanuts at Jeff, you're not fooling anybody.
You did know. All right,
yeah, I know. And I got another postcard from the Jam. Of course, they're still in South America. They're trying to. They're trying to teach the army ants down there in the Amazon jungle to march backwards. You know, they're giving them some of those some of those funny plants that they found down there. You know what I mean? So but they're enjoying themselves. And meanwhile, Alex and the Bandits are they're on stage and they're ready to play us out when you're ready, Jeff. And I just want to say, God bless to everybody. Be safe this Halloween. And remember, Satan is a punk-ass bitch. Look right in his red eyes and say, no surrender ever. Jeff?
Well said. I couldn't have said it better, Dave. You summed it up in three words there. I love it. And, yeah, everything Dave said, I'll say the same as Dave. So, guys, we'll be back again. Same time, same place next week. So take care, stay safe. And have a happy Halloween. And Dave, you can go and do your Wolfman bit tomorrow. Cheers, Dave. Back to you, mate.
News of the world said we are hooligans. We're the only people to defend your rights. And I won't stand by and watch this country die. Britannia with the EDL. Go mental. Go.
Lovely jubbly. Thank you, Alex, and the band. And the band is. Thank you, guys. We'll see you next week. Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, that's a wrap-up for the show for this evening. So once again, thank you all for joining us and being a part of what we do, what we have to say. And we will see you again, same time, next week. So take care, stay safe, and no surrender ever.